Thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. My name is Kalmetta Coleman. I am Chief Operating Officer at the Chicago Urban League. Thank you so much for joining our Health Equity Town Hall this evening, where we will be talking about a number of things around health, but primarily around vaccines and how you can protect your families this fall. And I want to start with just a quick survey question for the audience. And so, you know, I'll ask everyone to participate. So here's the question. Did you know that the annual COVID and flu shots are now available? Just trying to get a sense of where everybody else is on the line and what you know. Did you know that the annual COVID and flu shots are now available? If your answer is yes, please press 1. To answer no, please press 2. So I will repeat that. I see people are starting to respond. Did you know that the annual COVID and flu shots are now available? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no. And I will also remind you as we go throughout this evening, you will hear from Dr. Michael McGee, who will share some insights for all of you. At any point during the call, you can press 0 to ask a question, and you'll go into a queue. And you will be able to ask your questions live here. And so I am just trying to see. We've got quite a few folks who have responded to our polling question. And it looks like let me just see what the numbers mean exactly. It looks like 84% of people are aware that the shots are now available, but we do have 16% who were not aware. So happy to make you guys aware of that this evening, and hopefully you learn a lot more as we go through this evening. So I will start again by just introducing myself. My name is Kalmetta Coleman. I am Chief Operating Officer at the Chicago Urban League. We are hosting this town hall this evening to inform you so that you can get yourself and your families ready for the fall season, particularly around COVID and flu. And so we have with us this evening Dr. Michael McGee, who is an emergency room physician and CEO of Premier Urgent Care in Hyde Park. And at this time, Dr. McGee will share some information. Dr. McGee.
Good evening, everyone. Chicago World. I hope you guys can hear me quite well. I'm Dr. McGee. I'm an ER doc, as Kalmetta said. I would like to give you a 4 to 5 minute little overview of where we are with COVID and the vaccines. Some of you may be on Zoom, so I have a little PowerPoint presentation. So you guys know what 2020 was like. It was horrible. We had an epidemic that you all are aware of. Most epidemics are bad, and they usually happen in a certain specific area. In this case, it started in China, and then it jumped internationally across waters and became a pandemic. And now, after 3 years, we're here now. We're in an endemic, which is basically a disease or condition that's present among a population at all times. So it's essentially becoming like the flu and HIV. Well, you all know we started with coronavirus, alpha, and it went down pretty much all the Greek alphabets. Right now we're on Omicron, and the variant that we have now is XBB.1.5. Now, why this is important is because the vaccine you got 2-3 years ago is no longer effective. This virus has mutated so that now it's a whole different product, which is why they had to give an updated vaccine, which is totally different from the previous vaccines, which is why it's so important that we all pay attention to this. Now, you guys should look back historically and know that we have lost over 1.1 million people in the U.S. in the United States. That number is probably lower than what you think. It amounts to about 1%. But what people don't talk about is that a lot of these people who died in this number were our friends and family members who are black or brown. Also, people who we may not know have died were homeless people and poor people, as well as people who did not make it to the hospital. Those numbers are not accounted for. In addition, there are a lot of people who came to the ER where I am who may have died suddenly or from cardiac arrest, and we never tested them to see was it from COVID. And then, of course, there are a bunch of people who died.
Dr. McGee. I'm going to have to interrupt you for a second. We do have people on the Zoom who are saying that they cannot hear you. We will need you to unmute on Zoom.
I've been trying to do that, and it wouldn't let me. Let me try again.
There you go.
Okay, guys, I'm so sorry. We've been trying to work through this thing. As I mentioned before, we are now in an endemic, which is basically a disease that stays around like the flu and HIV. We had started out with an epidemic, and now it progressed to a pandemic where it went internationally, and now it's an endemic where it's going to be here. We have to accept that. In addition, the virus that we once had 3 years ago is no longer that same virus. It's now called the XBB 1.5, which is a total whole new virus than what we had 3 years ago, which is why it's so important for us to consider a new vaccine now that has been revised and now can tackle the new variant that we have out there now. I was just going over some data showing you how many people have died since 2000. And a lot of those people died for multiple reasons. And these numbers here are sort of small in comparison to the 106 million, and they're counted to 1%. But these are all of our friends and family, as we all know someone in the Black and brown community who died. And you guys also know that there was a disparity where there are more Black and brown people died than others. In addition, there's a bunch of people who may have come to the ER who died suddenly that we did not even test. Also, think about people who derived indirectly from COVID, people who were scared to go to the hospital who subsequently died at home, like my dad who had a perforated bowel and refused to go to the ER at that time. So it's a travesty in terms of where we are now. And if you look at Illinois, we're ranked number 5 in terms of the number of people who had COVID as well as the number of people who died. Now, how do we know it's a problem now? We thought it was over. We thought we were out of this nightmare. But what we've been seeing over the past several weeks is increasing COVID numbers. They look at international data, where it all starts. Then they look at wastewater surveillance. And then we've had increases in ER cases coming to the ER and urgent cares. And then finally, we've had increase in hospitalization, where we now monitor that. And then deaths may or may not have increased, as I said before. So looking at water, wastewater, it's a very good test. A lot of people don't have symptoms when they have COVID. So a lot of people don't even get tested. And so what happens is COVID is found in feces. And so it goes into the wastewater. Someone is testing that wastewater, and they can see clusters of COVID outbreaks in certain regions. That's how they know that it's coming before it gets here. And so it's important that we do what we need to do and test. This is just looking at a spot check of where we are in terms of vaccination rates. We're at about 69%, and of course, this is all from the old vaccine. In terms of hospitalizations, we've had a 24% increase in the past 14 days. We all know the symptoms that we have with COVID, ranging from fever, cough, shortness of breath, as well as vomiting and diarrhea, body aches, nasal congestion. But we also know that that could have been the flu, allergies, or cold. But what's happening now is, unlike most of those little small viruses, COVID caused a bunch of long-term problems. It affected the vessels, so it caused myocarditis and endocarditis. Some people got congestive heart failure. Some people had clots in their legs and in their lungs. Some people had kidney injuries and so on and so on. And so it is not something to be played with still. And even now we know about the long haulers disease, where some people still have symptoms of chest pain or dyspnea or anxiety or cough. Some people are still not quite the same. And so you don't want to get it. If you can, you want to always test. And then you want to do something preventive, like take your vaccine. We also know that back in January, we started hearing about the flu and coronavirus together. They started calling it the flu-rona. We were urged to get COVID and flu shots. That has not changed. We're still urged to get that. But unlike back then, we're now hearing about something else, the respiratory syncytial virus. At one point, we're now hearing more of a lot of it because Magic Johnson and others are giving commercials where they're talking to people and telling them about the dangers of RSV as well, particularly in kids younger than 2 and adults over age 60. Back in the past, we would be concerned about kids getting this because RSV is like a precursor for getting asthma. So a lot of these little babies would come in with breathing and problems and wheezing, and sometimes they have to get intubated. Well, now, usually it's a mild type of symptom that goes away in a week, Some kids would get much worse. But now older people, anybody above 65, 70 with comorbidities like COPD or asthma can also get RSV. And what's striking is that this is something that I didn't even know when I looked it up. You know, we've had annual epidemics of RSV outbreaks. A lot of people don't know they have it because we don't really test. So we've had 14,000 deaths a year. We've had hospitalizations of about 170,000. And it spreads very easy and can reinfect within 8 months. So you can get this RSV over and over again. And so right now, like the end of last year, we're now concerned about the trifecta. The trifecta is simply the flu, coronavirus, and RSV. And what's so scary about this, we get small little babies who may have gotten infected by their grandparents or others who may have COVID who now come into the ERs very, very sick. So we want to really do what we can to prevent these things from happening. And these are just all the different symptoms you get from having COVID-19 and the flu. A lot of them overlap, but with RSV, as I mentioned before, you can oftentimes get wheezing and progress to respiratory distress, which makes it concerning. And so test, test, test. We're about to go back to where you're going to be able to get free tests from the government. I do want to warn you, though, some of these rapid COVID tests are inexpensive, but they're not always accurate, right? One in five people with symptoms can have a negative rapid test or antigen test and still have COVID. That's why they say if you're still having symptoms, get a confirmatory test with a PCR and then wear your mask and stay at home and separate. That still holds true. A little bit about the difference between antigen tests and PCR tests. Antigen test is fast, quick, but can be not accurate. A PCR test is a gold standard. It's very good, except it can take a little bit longer wherever you go. In addition to that, we've also found that sometimes the nasal swab is not as effective. They're seeing now that this particular variant has a predisposition to locate in your saliva area, in your mouth. And so now the best test is to actually get a saliva-based COVID test. They're not, you know, a lot of places don't have that, but if you can find a place that does, you should definitely use it. This is just showing you even more how effective the saliva direct is compared to the PCR of the nasal pharyngeal, where it's both of these are very accurate, but you guys know most people are tired of getting things stuck up their nose. And so if you can find a place that does the saliva direct, you'd be doing much better for yourself. Just showing you in general, our urgent care in Hyde Park, we believe in the saliva test. We have the machines. We've gotten it done. It's very accurate. We can have results back in 2 to 12 hours. So it's a test that you should try to locate wherever you are. In fact, it not only tells you about COVID, influenza, and respiratory, but also about 25 other pathogens that can cause pneumonia and other respiratory problems. And this is just a quick view of them. So moving on to treatment of COVID, it's the same thing. You want to still take your vitamin D3. You want to take your zinc, your multivitamins, and take your turmeric. Nothing has changed with that. Getting to the vaccines. This, if you are able to take a picture of this, feel free to. This is just showing you all the vaccines out there. For influenza, you still want to get your influenza. If you're 6 months or older, you should get it. They work well. October is the ideal time to get that because as protection wanes over the season. So if you got it too early, it may not help you as you get to January and February. With COVID-19, we have Moderna, we have Pfizer, and we have Novavax, which is a protein that's a new pharmaceutical that's now came out with the new updated version. And for this particular shot, you can start at 6 months and older. And we really want the people who have high risk with comorbidities like obesity, diabetes, hypertension, cardiac disease, liver disease, kidney disease to get this. You should definitely make it an option to get that. For RSV, this particular vaccine just came out. We definitely would like to have kids younger than 2, but also anybody over age 60 with comorbidities. Always check with your physician before you get this. And just finishing up, the latest guideline for updated vaccine was approved again September 12th. Some places have the vaccine right now. Most are expected to be out by October. Again, if you're over 6 months of age. If you've had COVID recently, you want to wait at least 3 months if you're high risk. If you're not high risk, you can wait at least 6 months if you've already had COVID. Also, once you get the vaccine, in about 2 weeks, your immune system will begin to kick in. You can actually take COVID vaccine and the flu together. You can take it in different arms. For RSV, if you're older, you want to talk with your physician and take it at a separate time. In terms of the cost of the vaccine, it's free if you have commercial insurance and Medicare. For uninsured and underinsured, you can still get them from some FQHCs. And so just finishing up, these are just sources you can go to find out where you can go and get your vaccines. If you go to www.vaccines.gov, you can type in your zip code. It'll tell you where these vaccines are located. Also, one of my favorites is the ncrn.msm.edu. This is Morehouse School of Medicine, and they came up with the National COVID Resiliency Network. They did this because Black and brown people were distrustful of the vaccines. And so with this website, they have a lot of experts who may look like you and can bring you reassurance. So you can easily go to this and type in your zip code. It'll tell you where the vaccines or testing is located in your area. Other than that, I'll end there, and I'll take any questions you guys may have.
Thank you so much, Dr. McGee. That's really great information. I know that I learned a lot, so hopefully it was useful to our listeners. So I'm going to open it up now to give people an opportunity to ask questions. And as a reminder, you can do that by dialing zero on your phone, and you'll go into a queue, and you'll actually be able to answer your question live. While we wait for people to come in with questions, I am going to ask another survey question. And so I know that Dr. McGee covered some of this, but I am wondering, do you need information on where to find a free COVID shot if you are someone who is uninsured? Again, do you need information on where you can find a free COVID shot if you're uninsured? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, press 3 if this question does not apply to you. So again, press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, press 3 for not applicable. And I am seeing the responses coming in. Thank you all so much for participating. So far, it looks like we've got a little over half of the people this does not apply to. So maybe that's good news because it means you're insured. About 26% of people said they do not need the information. 17% of you on the line do need information on where to get a free COVID shot if you're not insured. And so I know that Dr. McGee provided some information, and perhaps he can address this again if he has additional details.
It's pretty much what I said. You can go to www.vaccines.gov. That's a great site to go to. You can also go to NCRN, which is National COVID-19 Resiliency Network, NCRN. .msn for morehousechoolofmedicine.edu. Both of those are great sites. You can always Google your Department of Health. I know in Illinois, they're really giving out the vaccines to uninsured and underinsured at the Department of Health. Again, FQHCs are good sites that you can go to get the vaccine as well.
Thank you so much, Dr. McGee. And let me just say again to remind everyone, if you have a question, here's your opportunity. You've got a doctor on the line who can answer any questions you might have about COVID or flu or any other issue. He's also talked about RSV. If you have questions, please press 0 for your call to be put through, and you will be able to ask your question live. So the lines are open for that. And I don't think I see any questions coming in yet.
There's one question in the chat that I see.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You see it? Okay.
Yes, there is. Can you still hear me? Okay, so let me ask you. Thank you for drawing it to my attention. So this is a question from Crystalline. Good evening, and thank you for hosting this presentation. from my understanding, although no longer in the emergency phase, COVID-19 is still considered a pandemic. This is based on the World Health Organization and other sources. Please clarify.
So, that's a good question. So, as I said before, it was an epidemic where it happened quickly and happened to one specific area internationally. It became a pandemic when it went and crossed international waters and went to multiple different countries. And so, yeah, it's still in multiple different countries. And one reason why it's still a pandemic but not as bad is because of vaccines. Vaccines came in. A lot of people were no longer dying. And it's something we live with. So it became a chronic disease, which makes it endemic, which means that it's not as in the greater numbers that we had before, where so many people were getting sick and being hospitalized, but it's still here. And in that sense, it's an endemic because it looks like it's going to be here for a while. It's like the flu never actually went away, and it became seasonal. And so it looks like that's what's happening right now. As we're getting close to the winter months, the numbers are peaking back up again as we're coming back inside. But also we got to be concerned about the other viruses I mentioned, such as the flu and RSV, because that makes someone, with all those different symptoms you get, you're having three different viruses. Now you're having, you know, a bunch of more symptoms, which can lead to dehydration and, you know, wheezing and all those different things. So it can make it much worse.
Thank you for that, Dr. McGee. I hope that answers the caller's question. So we actually also have a caller on the line with the question. I am going to open it up. I can't see her question, but I will open it up to allow her to speak. It's Ruby Free in Chicago.
Hi. Good evening. I had a quick question because, hey there, my daughter's had RSV a few times. And they speculate that she might have asthma and all that. She's 20 months right now. And my question is, do you think that a potential exposure to COVID could have brought on the RSV?
Typically, no, because two different viruses. And like we said before, as I'm an ER doc, typically before COVID, we never tested anybody above age two for RSV. RSV, like you said, it can cause asthma-like symptoms in small kids where they now get respiratory distress and can have like a full-blown asthma-type situation where they may need to get intubated or be on a ventilator. But for most babies, it's very rare. I mean, it's very mild. And after a week or two, they're better and go home. But when you have all those three things together, you get a much sicker baby and subsequently a much sicker person over age 65 or 70 as well with comorbidities.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel comfortable stating where you work at the urgent care? Is it Walgreens, CVS, or in the High Park Bank building or something?
So our urgent care is at Premier Urgent Care in Hyde Park, 1301 East 47th Street. It's an all-Black owned facility. And we're right across the street from Benny's Liquor Store and Walgreens.
Oh, it's right near the foot doctor then over there.
We're all in the same building. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Noted.
Yep. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Ruby, for calling in with your question.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So we actually have a couple more callers with questions. We have Laverne from Chicago, and I'm going to allow her to ask her question.
What is RSV?
So it's called respiratory syncytial virus, and it's basically a big three-letter word that basically before 2020, before Magic Johnson's commercials, not many people heard about it. It's been there forever. And it's basically a virus that causes asthma-like symptoms in typically kids under age two. They get the sniffles, they get runny nose, and sometimes they'll start having some wheezing, and they get into a little respiratory distress where they're breathing from their abdomen. And so we're now finding out that this virus can affect a lot of different people,
but it also can affect anybody over age 60 who has COPD or asthma and can make it worse. And so if you have that plus the flu and COVID, you become much sicker. So we just want everybody to be aware of these things. And this year they just started a vaccine for RSV that anybody with those comorbidities can get it. When I say comorbidities, meaning you have all these different diseases that affect your body that can make things worse for you. And so we're just bringing more awareness to that fact. And we're expecting that this year, this winter, we may have that trifecta, which is all three of those things together, which is why it's so important to be vaccinated.
Okay, now what was that second word? Respiratory what?
Let me spell it for you.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
It's S-Y-N.
Mm-hmm.
C-Y-T-I-A.
C-Y-T-I-A. Okay.
Yes.
S-Y-N-C-T-I-A.
If you just Google RSV, you will see tons of information about it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Laverne, for calling in. And a great question. We're getting some really good questions this evening. So I now have Mary Dixon from Chicago, and I will allow her to ask her question.
Good evening.
Mary,
thanks for hosting. Good evening. Thanks for hosting, everyone. My question is this. I'm 67 years old. I am a recent cancer survivor and a COVID-19 survivor. I did have all 5 shots. I don't see my primary until January of 2024. Should I go and get the vaccine now? I know I'm supposed to get it, and I want to get it because I don't want to be sick again. Plus, I work in a senior building with seniors.
Yes, ma'am. It's strongly recommended that you, with your comorbidities, with you having cancer in the past, sometimes it's great and God, you know, God bless you and everything is in remission, but it can put you in a higher risk category.
Mm-hmm.
So it's recommended that you go ahead and get it. Because think about it, right now we've had 8 degrees weather. Like we haven't
mm-hmm.
even hit that spot yet where we're inside and it's you know, people, your grandkids, your kids are coming around you and they're not wearing masks anymore. No one's doing what they need to do anymore to prevent it. Everybody feels like this is over. But for those people high at risk, you need to do what you need to do to protect yourself. So that's why we're saying you should get it.
Okay, so that means I could come to y'all clinic and get it. I ain't got to wait till January.
We love
okay.
to have you. However, let me just say this, though. Because there's some delay in some of the facilities getting the vaccine, we don't have it yet. We're calling around and waiting for it. A lot of the facilities don't have it because it's just so new. They just approved it September 12th. So they're thinking by mid-October, 1st of October, some of the vaccines should be rolling in. So you just could just call around and you should be able to check. But also definitely should get tested if you have symptoms as well. And we do use a saliva test, which is PCRs, which is very accurate at our facility as well, that tests for all 3 as well as pneumonia and other things.
Okay, great. Thank you all. Thanks for hosting.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Dixon. We do have another caller. This is Lisa Betts.
Hi, Lisa.
Yes. Hi. I just wanted to say thank you for this presentation. While you were presenting, I had to fight back tears because not only did I know several people that passed, family of 5 people, 2 of them passed away from COVID. Right after that, I caught COVID in 2021, and what happened to me is I was apprehensive about taking the vaccine. My son came to my house, gave me COVID. I had COVID pneumonia, and it left me unable to walk for about a year. So not only was I on oxygen, whatever it did, it damaged my muscular system. And so I'm just now really regaining my mobility from 2021. And so I just wanted to know, do you know why it affects certain people's muscular system, whereas it doesn't to others?
So that's an outstanding question. thank God you're still here, and thank God you got through it all. And it's good to hear testimonies like that because, I mean, a lot of us feel like we never went through this thing. You know, a lot of us lost people and have people who are still debilitated by it. And so it's not something to play with, even though, you know, a lot of people recovered well and did okay. It was not like the flu and you know, RSV and all these other things where you have it and you get better and you don't have any other sequela. You can have long-term effects. And so what they found is that initially was that this is a disease that affects vessels, blood vessels. And you have blood vessels all throughout your body, in your muscles, in your brain. We had people come in after having a seizure and having a stroke who were like 31 years old with no risk factors for strokes. So it was affecting all parts of different people's bodies. And that's why it was so scary at that time. And even now, the long haulers, it can affect muscles. It can affect, you know, your mental aspect. It can affect your GI tract. Cough, so it can do a lot of different things still. And so as you take the vaccine can decrease the long hauler symptoms, but you also got to still do prevention because, as you can see, it doesn't discriminate, and it's different from one person to the next. That's why people who are on the internet saying, hey, this was nothing, it's just a cold. Well, that's you, bruh. The next person, it may affect them in so many different ways that you can't predict what it's going to do to someone. And that's the whole reality of this. It's unpredictable, and it keeps changing. That's why we're on here, you know, encouraging Black and Browns and anyone else who's at high risk to do what we need to do to prevent it.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for that. I actually got my shot at Advocate a few weeks ago. Yeah, so I beat it going. But I've only taken two. I took the first one, which was the Pfizer, and then the second shot. And then I skipped two, but my doctor, when I went back, she said, I really need you to take this shot. So I took this shot. I had a little side effect from it, but I'm glad that I did take it because now I swim for my mobility and I'm outside. And so I don't want to ever get sick like that again. So if I have to just, you know, bend my rule on taking it, then, hey, that's what I'm going to keep doing. But I appreciate this presentation. Thank you.
Well, thank you for even taking it because I think what a lot of people, and I feel that way sometimes as well. People took these shots 2, 3, 4, 5 a year or two ago, and then now we're talking about it all over again. Well, the reason why it's updated is because it's a new vaccine that has the same characteristics, but it's fighting the new type of virus that's mutated now. So if what you're taking now, what you took in the past, won't help with what we're having going on now because it's a whole different thing. And that's why what we have, this new vaccine has been upgraded to handle what's out here now.
Yeah. So thank you. We have quite a few callers. Thank you so much, Ms. Betts, for your question. We actually have another question related to kind of side effects. And so we've got Ollie Applewhite. And I will allow to ask your question.
Okay. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
My
problem is that when I taken the last two shots, the first one I was okay. The second one, I stayed sick for almost 3 months. And then I've taken it in my doctor's office. And I don't understand that because I'm taking it, but I'm getting sick. Is that something that they putting into my system to make me get sick like that?
Well, number one, the side effects, as we already know, have heard, is the same side effects as the first vaccine. Most people, if they're going to have a really bad situation, it'll be an allergic reaction. That'll be the first thing. We've had small numbers of allergic reactions. The next thing is you may get localized pain in the injection site. Some people get prodromal where you have like a mild symptoms of like the flu. When you take the flu shot, you may get sick for a day or two and you get better. In your case, I haven't heard of someone having something for 3 months.
I did, and I went to the doctor. I really did.
Oh, I'm not denying
it. I was shocked.
Yeah, I'm not denying it. I'm just saying that's if that did happen, it's pretty rare. And it may have just been from that one injection because you said the first two times you got it, you did not have that. So it's a judgment call for you, and I understand you have a reason to not do it again. But that's just a call you have to make because you may take the same, this different vaccine and may not have any side effects from it. So hope that answers your question as best as I could. It's an honest answer.
Thank you, and have a great day.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in with your question. So I'm going to go to another question about another question actually about side effects from Pat Reed.
Yes, I'm concerned about taking this new vaccine. What are the side effects? I had the first four injections, and that fourth one, I thought I was going to die. I was so sick.
So I just went over that, and I just mm-hmm. said that most side effects that were harmful, which would be an allergic reaction right away that could kill you was a small number. And then most places where, when you first started taking it, we would make you wait 15, 20 minutes in case you had an allergic reaction. And we would give you Benadryl and, you know, epinephrine and, you know, things to reverse the allergic reaction. Well, then they found out that, hey, a lot of people were not having any allergic reactions. So they saw them people go as soon as they got their injections, just like they do with the influenza. Now, some people may have pain at the site, but some people, like you just said, you may have gotten a little sicker. And keep in mind, back then, you had boosters. So they were giving you a little bit of a higher dose. And for this particular vaccine, from what I've read, excuse me, it's not considered a booster. It's considered something similar to the first one, but in this case, it's geared towards the virus that is mutated like 8 times, and it's totally different than what you took when you had the first round of coronavirus, which was alpha. We've gone through beta, we've gone through delta, we've gone through gamma. We're on Omicron, and now we're on the BFF 1.5. So it's a totally different thing. And also they found out that this one does not respond to the previous vaccines, and that's why they kind of revised it a little bit. And now it's something that can take care of the virus that's out here now and that's prevalent. But like I told the last person, it's purely your judgment call, you know, if you want to take it or not. But if you have multiple comorbidities with, you know, a bunch of medical problems, obesity, heart disease, immunosuppressed from cancer or taking drugs that can depress your immune system, if you have, you know, respiratory problems, you should take it.
Who's the manufacturer of this vaccine?
As I mentioned on a little PowerPoint, Moderna is the one. There's three different vaccines. There's Moderna that everybody has taken. There's Pfizer that most people took. And then there's a new one out there now called Vivovax, which has lipids. So it's a different type of methodology than the other two.
Which one would you recommend?
I'm taking the one that I took before, which was Pfizer. For me, I feel you should take whatever it is you had before. Now, they're saying that no matter what you took before, as long as if you've never taken a vaccine before, they're saying for this particular virus, you should take one of these, because they don't recommend going back and taking what was there in the past. They're saying take the newer one because it's geared towards the new virus that's out here now. So, okay.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome, huh? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we've got a lot of questions, so I'm going to try to go through some are covering similar topic areas. One I will ask is from Vicki Williams in Chicago, and I am going to allow her to ask her question.
Yes. Hi, Dr. McGee. Today I had my shingles and my pneumonia shot. So mm-hmm. how much longer should I wait before I have this flu and COVID shot?
So you just got it today?
Today I got my pneumonia and shingle shot because I'm over 65. Okay.
Yeah.
So now you're saying that, go ahead.
Yeah, but so those are different things.
Right.
The obviously the pneumonia shot is something they expect you to take every year to prevent you from getting pneumonia.
Okay.
And they're not in the same category as the type of vaccine for coronavirus. So
okay.
I would probably wait 2 to 3 weeks, but you definitely may want to consult with your physician about that.
Okay.
But I from what I've read, there is no increased adverse effects from taking it within 2 weeks or even less, but I would definitely confer with them. Now, even for like the flu and COVID, the new COVID test, you can take those two together. They recommend that you take it together.
Just said that I couldn't take them together since I was over 65, right?
You asked me about how soon should you take this after you've taken the new one. Right. And I was saying,
But earlier you said that it would probably be at two separate times instead of having the COVID and the flu shot if you were over the age of 65.
That's what you said
in the beginning of your presentation.
I can go back and clarify that.
Okay.
If I said that,
okay.
that was wrong. But you can take the you can take COVID vaccine and influenza vaccine together. The RSV vaccine, if you wanted to take that, they're saying don't take it with the other two. You can wait a while if you're high risk. Only if you're high risk for the RSV.
I am high risk. I'm 65 and I'm obese.
Okay.
So that's high risk, right?
That's high risk for COVID.
Uh-huh. Right.
For RSV, the high risk is if you have a respiratory problem already, such as asthma or COPD or congestive heart failure. Okay? But for COVID,
so I need that vaccine also? RSV?
Start with the COVID test. And the vaccine and the influenza, and then check with your doc before you take the RSV. Because you may not even be able to find an RSV vaccine in some places yet. Because, again, they just started pushing that. They just started having that this year. So some places may not have it. But, yeah, I would definitely confer with your doc because you don't have the respiratory disease that a lot of people have who are considered high risk for the RSV.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. McGee. Thank you.
All right, great. Thank you. So we do have more questions. We're going to try to get in a few more before we wrap up. We have, where's the one I saw? I'm sorry, just give me a minute.
Take your time. And I appreciate all you guys' questions out there. They've been very thought-provoking and needed. So thank you.
So here is a question from Myrtle Parton, I want to say. I might be mispronouncing it. I'm going to allow her to speak.
Good evening. Thanks so much for your precious information. My name is Myrtle Parton, and I am bedbound. And I was wondering, before they were sending people out to give the COVID shot, is there any place now with that people would be coming out to give the shot, those people that are bedbound?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. So I do know if you check with your Department of Health and ask them that question, you may have a better idea. They may be able to tell you more information. Also, Ms. Myrtle, you can try there are a bunch of home health agencies with physicians who do home health, and they can set it up for you to have one of their physician assistants, a nurse practitioner, to come to you to give you your vaccination.
So far I've gotten everything that I've needed. So I've been blessed enough to go to Sam's to get the things that I need. So, but I just wanted to know about the new COVID shot. Will they bring it out?
Yeah,
if
so
not,
I don't know
I can't
that.
Go out.
Yeah, I don't know who, if I know the pharmacies like Walgreens and all those, not yet. It's all just new. Again, they just released it September 12th. But I just gave you a couple ideas to try. And look, just okay. Google home physician agencies and see if they have any, and they'll come out. Or you can always okay. ask your doctor as well. Okay.
And I will say, okay. I do know that the city of Chicago sent people out during the early vaccines, so they may offer that service again as well. So you can try the City of Chicago Department of Health.
Okay, thanks so much.
Okay. So I will go to the next question, which has to do with masks. It's from Marcus Nats.
I know that name.
Hey, Mike.
See, anybody call me Mike, I know they know me. This is one of my colleagues from medical school at Rush. I didn't even thanks for listening in, brother. Appreciate you.
Oh, no problem. So as you probably know, remember, I am not practicing, but I serve as a medical advocate for family members, coworkers, all of that. So I really wanted to know, and forgive me if you touched on this topic earlier, because my wife was listening in, and she's working still for Cook County Emergency Management. In terms of this rendition of COVID, are we looking at, you know, kind of what we were doing in 2020 and, or more specifically, 2021 and 2022, where we were masking and social distancing and working remotely? Are we looking at a rise in the impact of this variant like that, or is it going to be much milder? Just, you know, what have you heard and studied?
Sure. Well, so far, Marcus, they're showing that the numbers that are rising are not that bad. This particular variant that's out there, the BFF1.5, can circumvent the previous vaccine, right. But it's not causing as much destruction as the Delta, where you were getting pneumonia and all those different things. Mm-hmm. And also, okay. As mentioned earlier, the latest data show that there are about 69% people who are vaccinated, and a lot of people have gotten COVID before. It's just that, again, the problem is that this is kind of like a different COVID. So you may mm-hmm. get it again, and it may be your fourth and fifth time. And so we're still saying that as you keep an eye on the numbers and keep testing, that when you see the numbers are going up, you should definitely start doing what you need to do in your house to prevent your sicker or people who are high risk in your family from getting it, right? And that's where the yeah. problem lies in that a lot of times we have our teenagers or our college students coming home. They've been out kicking it, going to parties, and then they come in and they get grandma who's, you know, 80 years old, who has diabetes, hypertension, and, you know, had cancer. And that's who you don't want to get. And that's when you should wear your mask and stay away from grandma's house. I don't care how much you love grandma. Don't go there when you have these things mm-hmm. and go from there. And then you should still test and get people in your family to get tested. Again, even the little babies, like I said before, you don't want to give kids the trifecta, which is COVID, RSV, and influenza, because they get extremely sick. Last year, when I had this happening to kids coming in, it was so many pediatric patients taking up the ICUs, we didn't have anywhere to send them. So these kids were sitting in ERs trying to find ICU beds in three different states. That was my experience. So you just don't want to get it to that point. Right now, they're saying that it's not going to be that bad. But, you know, this thing changes so often, you never know what you're going to have until it happens.
Interesting. Okay. One last question is, in terms of folks who have, let's say, old tests, COVID tests from, let's say, 2021 or 2022.
Can't use them. They're outdated.
Outdated. All right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, antiquated. Yeah, they're antiquated. And, again, like I mentioned in the PowerPoint, the saliva works best because it's a higher viral load in your mouth than in your nose area. And obviously it's less, you know, people, I've had my nose done like 20 times, probably more. You never get used to it. So you can find a place to do saliva that would work better for you. And definitely want to do PCR. And again, that's what we're doing at Premier's in Karen High Park. So we have that as well.
Okay. All righty, man. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you so much,
Mr. Nance. So we have time for just one more question, unfortunately. If you did submit a question, we have your information, and we will be able to follow up with you if we don't get to you. But I'm going to allow one more question, but I'm also going to mention that Dr. McGee is an ER physician, for those who missed it earlier, and he is also CEO of Premier Urgent Care in Hyde Park. So his office is in Hyde Park, and you can reach him there. And when he starts talking, he can share that address. But I am going to take a final question from Sadie Ellis, and I just want to thank everybody for joining us this evening for this discussion. And sharing your questions, and I just really hope that everyone's gotten a lot out of it. So I'm going to open it up for Sadie.
Yes. Okay, my name is Sadie Ellis, and my question is about mutation. I keep hearing that the virus has mutated, and then they'll say it has mutated again. What causes it to mutate?
Great question, Ms. Ellis. Part of the reason, if you have something in your body, and viruses are known for replicating and mutating and becoming something different. So let's say when we first had coronavirus and everybody had gotten a vaccine or done what they did to prevent it and we had caught it early, we would have probably abolished it at that time. The longer it stays in your system, the more it changes just from your system, and it builds up immunity to whatever it is you've been taking to treat it or prevent it. And so it changes. And as we go through year after year of it, it becomes a whole different product. And that's the nature of this particular virus. If you guys may not know, coronavirus in the early stages was a simple cold. That's why when kids, when we first got it, kids were not really getting that sick because they had already had exposure to coronavirus from being in daycares. And think about how many times you've gotten sick from your own kids, or if you're a teacher and you're in daycare, you get sick from that. Well, kids built up immunity. And so now when this thing got out to adults and it changed, it became something called SARS, where it started affecting your respiratory system. It became more complicated than just a simple cold. And keep in mind, again, it was here when Obama was president, and they got a hold of it and did the right things so that it didn't really take off into where we are now. It's just that we missed that train, and it became a pandemic, and now it's still here. And so that's what it does. And by the way, just to add to what Calmetta said, my background is also in public health, particularly epidemiology and biostats. So I look at these things. When you get information from people, you got to check their background and see their credibility. Because a lot of the reason why a lot of people didn't take the vaccine or do the right things, because we had a bunch of people out here online spreading a whole bunch of stuff that was incredible, who did not have any education in this area. And so it caused a lot of riff and raff between people, and a lot of deaths could have been avoided on all sides of the table. So thank you, guys. You've been wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that, Dr. McGee and Sadie. So we actually have time for just one more survey question that I just want to give people a chance to weigh in. So now that you've heard everything Dr. McGee has had to say, and I know you've probably heard other things out there, I just want to ask, will you plan to get both the flu and COVID shots this fall? If you have not already done so, do you plan to get both the COVID and flu shots this fall? So again, on your phones, press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, and press 3 if you plan to get only the COVID, and press 4 if you plan to get only the flu vaccine. Again, press yes if you plan to get both the COVID and flu vaccines. Press 2 if you plan to get neither. Press 3 if you plan to get only the COVID vaccine, or if you've gotten it already. And press 4 if you plan to get only the flu vaccine. And I see those results are coming in. I'm excited to see that only one person is saying that they won't get either. So that's great. So it looks like 80% of people, of our people who are on the line are saying that you will get both the COVID and flu vaccine. That is a great way to think about protecting yourself and your family. 16% of those plan to get only the COVID vaccine, which is also great, a way to make sure you're protected. And we've got 3% who say that they will get neither. No, I'm sorry, that's wrong. We have 3% getting only the flu vaccine, and then we have 2% who are saying that they will get neither, or 1% actually, who don't plan to get any shots. So thank you again so much for participating. We're glad to know that you're all interested in protecting your health. Again, if your question did not get answered or you didn't hear it addressed here, you will hear from us. And thank you again for taking the time to join our town hall this evening. Have a great evening, and thank you, Dr. McGee.
Thank you so much, Carmetta. Appreciate you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Take care, everyone.